ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه وبعد my dear brothers and sisters inshallah I thought I will talk to you today about what is perhaps the most important lesson definitely one of the most important lessons but perhaps even the most important lesson from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which is the lessons from the hijrah and I'm saying the most important lesson because the sahaba saw it like that where when it came to creating a calendar for the Muslims when they had to choose and a time from which to begin counting they chose the hijrat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam so it was almost as if to say that time began when the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made hijrat from Makkah to Madina so why did the sahaba consider that time to be so important I mean what was so special about the hijrat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam which was not seen as something which was different from and why was the hijrat seen as more important than anything else or any other way of keeping time or any other way of counting in the seerah so I think this is something that is very important for us to think about and try to reflect on because what the sahaba saw as important obviously takes precedence over and has to be seen as very very important by us as well now the hijra is considered to be the most important point because that was a turning point in the history of the Muslims where they from being the most the weakest and the most persecuted minority in Makkah they got some relief by going away from Makkah and then eventually alhamdulillah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory and gave victory to the da'wah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he moved to Medina and of course the hijra itself was as a result of the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a result of wahi ghair matlu that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam received with respect to hijra and so he made this hijra now I see in the hijra three critical and important lessons that we need to learn the first of them is willingness to commit to do whatever it takes for the success of the mission willingness to commit to do whatever it takes for the success of the mission that's the first lesson the second lesson is the importance of preparation the third lesson is the what priority of action did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam take when he reached Medina so three critical important lessons which inshallah we will look at them one by one willingness to commit Number 2 importance of preparation number 3 priority of action so let's look at the first one the willingness to commit now to understand the criticality to understand the huge significance of the hijra we have to look at it from the perspective of the tribal society that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a member of and which was the norm of the time today we hop onto a plane and we go across the seven oceans we we go around the circumference of the globe we travel thousands of miles without a thought but that was not the case at the time of the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam it was not just a question of travel the arabs traveled traveled all over the world I mean at that time this was before the advent of the navies and shipbuilding so the arabs were not at that time at the time of the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the arabs were not a they didn't have a global footprint that came much later when they started sailing the seas but on the land they were great travelers I mean their trading caravans went all the way to Syria and then they went to Iraq they had trade connections between India trade connection with India with China they had trade connections south the caravans went to Yemen so they had The Arabs were travelers, they traveled, they traded, and so on. Even though they didn't have mastery over the oceans at that time, they certainly had mastery over land. And so they moved, and they moved from, they moved vast distances in their caravans. So it was not the issue of travel, it was the issue of the whole meaning of hijrah. Hijrat is migration, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he migrated from Makkah to Medina. Now why is that such a significant point? Because the whole issue, the tribal society, was based on one for all for one. That was the whole principle of the tribal society, which is that a man was nothing if he didn't have a tribe. If he was thrown out of his tribe, then he was fair game. He was there was open season on him, open season on his family. Anyone could do anything to him because he had no protection. So being getting the protection from the tribe, and we see this in the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and in the Sahaba, of people giving protection to individuals. Now what was the meaning of that protection? The meaning of the protection was that somebody says, so and so is under my protection, meaning that nobody will touch him. If they touch him, then they touch me. If they do anything to him, then I will take it as a personal attack on me, and I will deal with it likewise. So protection always came from powerful people. Even the a little child, a little boy of a powerful tribe could give protection to somebody else. But if you didn't have power, then your protection meant nothing. So protection was a very important point. In a society which was characterized by violence, by a lot of crime and so on, you needed protection. Without protection, you were nothing. Your life was not worth a dime. And that's the reason why tribal affiliations were so critically important. And without tribal affiliation, a person was it was like a death sentence. If a tribe threw a person out of the tribe, it was like a death sentence. And that's the reason why among the Arabs, it was something to throw a man out of the tribe was something they never did. I mean, they would do, they would punish crimes in various ways, usually corporal punishment, but they would never throw a person out of the tribe. They would never disinherit or remove a person from his tribe, because that was like a death sentence. It was like, then you, after that you were nobody. So when Rasulullah ﷺ left Makkah for Medina, his tribe actually threw him out, in the sense that his tribe, they tried to kill him and so on. And eventually when he left, they wanted him to leave. And the Quraysh, when he left the Quraysh, effectively he left the protection of his tribe. And that was a huge, huge, huge decision. Why would he do that? Why would he agree for that? Why would he agree to do that? He was fully cognizant of the dangers that he was opening himself and his family to. Why did he still do it? And that shows his willingness to commit, his willingness to sacrifice and to invest all his assets without hesitation, without a thought, for the success of his mission. It also, the lesson that is there also is the importance of going, the importance of the surroundings, the importance of the environment, the importance of society when you want to propagate a particular message. That also is underlined in this issue of hijrah, because Islam actually came in Makkah. Islam didn't come in Medina, Islam came in Makkah. But Islam never flourished in Makkah. Islam was always persecuted in Makkah. Islam always faced negative consequences and negative reactions in Makkah. Throughout the time that Rasulullah ﷺ spent in Makkah, which was 13 years out of the 23 years of his Nubuwwat, and in the 10 years that he spent in Medina is where Islam flowered. So that's another message for us to think, a part of the first lesson, which is willingness to commit, is to ensure that when you plant the seed, that the ground is prepared, that the circumstances, the environment in which you want to convey your message is at least a neutral environment. It shouldn't be a completely negative environment, because in a negative environment, you're just doing a lot of very hard work and you have almost no results to show for it. And the seerah, the Makkan period is witness to that. A lot of hard work with almost no results. Of course, visible results, because the hard work, how it helped the Sahaba themselves to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how it toughened them, and those are definitely very big gains. But effectively, if you look at how did the message, was it propagated, how far did it go, the answer is no, it didn't go very far. It was not propagated, couldn't be propagated, because there was too much of negativity, there was too much of opposition. So Hijrat also shows us, as part of the first lesson, do whatever it takes to commit. Hijrat also shows us that it is important to be willing to move to an environment where it may be more conducive to the work that you want to do. Because if you are in a negative environment, the chances are that you are not going to succeed, no matter what you do, no matter how hard you work, and that doesn't make sense. The second lesson of Hijrah is the importance of preparation. Now, if you look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he didn't just get up and start walking. The preparation of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went a few years before he actually moved to Medina. I would put the first point of preparation at the time when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went from tribe to tribe in Mina after Hajj, seeking a place from which he could propagate his message. And he was rejected from everywhere except from the people of Medina, who initially a few people listened to him, and then they went back to their town, which was called Yathrib, and then the next year they came in greater force, and we had what is called Baitul Aqaba, where they pledged allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That whole pledge of allegiance itself, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you must pledge to me that you will obey me, whether you like what I say, whether you agree with it or you don't agree with it, whether you like or dislike what I say, or whether you agree or disagree, irrespective of that, you pledge that you will obey me. Number two, he said that you will protect me like you protect your wives and children, meaning my work and support must be unstinted, complete and total, including if it means to sacrifice your life, then you should be prepared to do that. And they agreed. And third thing he said was that you must support me, and when I ask you for support, when I ask you for financial support or any other kind of support, you must give me in times of plenty and you must give me in times scarcity. So you must give me if you have it and you must give me if you don't have it. Now just think about that. I mean, that whole pledge of it itself, if we look at it today in how we approach Islam, it seems to be something which is completely unfair. You might say, well, how can you even ask people something like this, that you will obey me irrespective of what I tell you, and irrespective of whether you agree or disagree, that you will support me and protect me even if it takes your life to do that, and you will give me if I ask you, you will give me whether you have it or you don't have it. I mean, this is seems to be highly unreasonable, but that is the secret of success of the mission of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the secret of success of the people of Medina, the Ansar, and that's the foundation, and that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them that special position, because they trusted him and they agreed to these conditions. And for us, as far as the lesson from the seerah is concerned, it takes that kind of commitment from the followers towards their leader in order to succeed. The followers must commit completely and totally to support their leader if they want to succeed. There are no half measures in this. And if you do that, then if you take half measures, you will not succeed. And that's today one of our big problems. We our support for our leaders is always conditional. And usually the answer is, usually the people, they say, well, you see, our leaders are so bad. I'm not talking about supporting bad leaders. I'm saying supporting good leaders. So make up your mind, decide what kind of leader you have. And if you have a leader who you trust, right, then support the leader completely. If you're not going to do that, then the leader, you're priming the leader for failure. And then you will say, well, I told you so. Well, you didn't tell me so. You didn't, it happened because the support wasn't there. So that support is absolutely critical. And the incident of Baitul Aqaba underlines that and makes it very, very clear what kind of support. Second preparation that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did was to send his emissary, Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, to Medina a few years in advance of his own coming there, where Mus'ab ibn Umair spread the message of Islam. Now, the selection of Mus'ab ibn Umair was not random. Mus'ab ibn Umair was selected on the basis of his knowledge of Islam, of his recitation of the Quran, the fact that he was a very personable young man. He was from the aristocracy of Makkah. He had been thrown out by his own tribe, by his own mother. So he was free, he was unencumbered. He didn't have a family to support, he didn't have people to worry about. So he was alone, a young man, warrior, strong, very handsome, very good looking, very well known. So it was not just a random selection of, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't just grab the first person who was willing or who happened to be handy. He picked and he selected the best among them to do this particular work of spreading the message of Islam and preparing the ground for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's arrival in Medina. And obviously he did a phenomenal job. Most of the major of Sahaba from Medina accepted Islam at his hands, and he prepared the ground for the reception of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Third point in preparation is who Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took with him. Now obviously Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the choice to take any of the Sahaba that he wanted to take with him. But he chose Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. So that again is an issue of saying, as the leader, who do you pick as your closest companion? And what is the basis of that picking? And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu's picking by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, in my opinion, based on the fact that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the man who trusted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anybody else. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam trusted him more than anybody else. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu trusted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anybody else. He never questioned him on anything. He accepted his risala. He accepted his leadership completely and totally and unstintingly and with a completely an open heart. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam selected him to be his companion on this fantastic journey, as a result of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as part of the journey in the ghar, al-Thawr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and called him the sahib of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he said to his sahib, la tahzan inna Allah ma'ana, that he said, do not be afraid, do not be sad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say Allah is with me, he said Allah is with us. So that is the position of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Fourth point is the travel arrangements. Fourth point from the second lesson is the travel arrangements, where Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu made the arrangements. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will pay. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, if you pay, that is acceptable to me. If you don't pay, that is also acceptable to me. Whatever suits you, suits me. And it shows the importance of preparation, of making adequate arrangements. So they made arrangements to travel in terms of the camels, what they needed. They made arrangements for a guide. They made arrangements for the servant of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu to graze his sheep over their footprints, so that the footprints got obliterated by the movement of the flock of sheep. And so all those preparations down to the minutest detail that you could foresee in order to ensure your safety and facility to move to Medina. And finally, and perhaps the most important, is Ruju ila Allah. All of this was being done, directed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was constantly in touch with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As they were walking to from Makkah to Medina as well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would continuously recite Quran, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu would walk sometimes in front of him, sometimes behind him, and all the details of that. So I won't go into the details, but Ruju ila Allah is very, very clear. Third and last lesson in this series from the Hijrah is the priority of action. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached Medina, it was not that he reached Medina and he said, all right, now fine, we are home and dry, and that's it. No, Medina was only the beginning. The Hijrat was only the beginning for the rest of history of Islam. That was the opening of the door. And there, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did three very, very critical things. Number one, first of all, let's look at what he didn't do. He didn't build his own house. He didn't try to get some property for himself. He didn't say, let me secure the welfare of my family. Where will my family stay? What will they do? None of that. His focus was and continued to be on only one thing, which was his mission of Islam. So the first thing that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did was to build the masjid. The masjid is the center of the Muslim community. It is the heart of the community. And so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam established the masjid, and that was the establishment of Salah. Building of the masjid is not, the masjid is not a Islamic center. The masjid is not a place of social gathering. The masjid is the manifestation of Iqamati Salah, of establishing of Salah. Why? Because Salah is the connection to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. So the establishment of the masjid is the establishment of Salah. It is the connection, establishment of the connection to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. And that is why the masjid was established. That was the first thing that he did. Second one, which he did, was the joining of the hearts, of wiping out of differences between people, differences of race, differences of tribe, differences of all kinds of social inequalities and stratification, differences in terms of people's thinking and so on. Rasulullah ﷺ created the brotherhood of faith, the Ummah of Islam, the Ummah of Muslimin, Ummatul Muslimin, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was created not in Makkah but in Medina, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a one Muhajir the brother of one Ansari. Even the word Ansar, those the helpers, imagine the helpers, the Muhajirun, the emigrants, and the Ansar, the helpers. What a beautiful legacy of the people of Medina. A lesson to all mankind to say that unless you help a message to spread, it will not spread. And when you do help the message to spread, then you get the goodness from that spreading. So the Ansar, the position of the Ansar is not just historical, not just a set of names, but it is the attitude of helping, the attitude of Nusrat to the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Ansar were Ansar because they gave Nusra to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why it's a very important point for us to remember. And how can you give the Nusrat? What did they give the Nusrat? Because suddenly they found the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the emigrants who came with him, all the Muhajirun who came with him and who came after him. Did they help them because, oh well, these are our people, we have nothing in no differences with them, and these are our long lost country cousins? No, they gave them help despite differences. They didn't give them help, say, oh, you see, we are Malayali, they are all Malayalis, all njangala Malayalathukaran ellame onnaittirikanam. Alla, angane onnu parinjilla. They didn't do any of that. They didn't say, hamtare hamta pannunga sab jane Hyderabad ya hai re, aa jao baitho biryani khao. Nahi bole. The whole point is they did not help each other because of commonalities. They helped each other despite differences. I want to make this very, very clear. They did not help each other because of commonalities. They helped each other despite differences. They had differences. They were from different tribes and so on. And today it's very difficult for us to understand this whole issue of tribes because we don't live in those kinds of tribes anymore. But a tribal difference is something that has to be experienced. I mean, it's like a wall. But despite that, people, despite the differences, they came together. Why? Because they came together on the basis of another adhesive, another magic glue that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam created, which was the glue of brotherhood of faith. The brotherhood of faith, the Ummah Muslimah, was the glue that joined people together, that joined the hearts together, that enabled people to overlook differences with each other.
Take the case of Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu and his brother Abu Darda al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made Abu Darda al-Ansari the Arab, the brother of Salman al-Farsi the Persian.
So the key thing to understand is the Ummah, the second point in priority of action, was to the creation of the Ummah, where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made one Muhajir the brother of one Ansari. And the last point in the priority of action was that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam created the means for defending the people, defending the Muslims. And that was the first time that an actual defense force was created, where the Muslims now had been given permission to defend themselves and to fight their enemies if need be. And that was not a permission that had been given in Makkah. In Makkah they were just told to make sabr, but in Medina they said, yes, if you are attacked then you can defend yourself. And that is what they did. And so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam created a force of people whose job was to defend the community. So alhamdulillah, like all other things in the seerah is full of lessons, and one can spend a lot of time on those lessons. But I always, that is my endeavor, not just to list a bunch of things, but to try to extract lessons from it in a way where we can apply those lessons in our lives, because that is the end point of all lessons, is that they should be applied. So what can we apply from the seerah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, especially from the issue of hijrat, in terms of the three lessons which I three main lessons that I mentioned, and the details thereof, of the importance of willingness to commit to do whatever it takes for the success of the mission, the importance of preparation for it before you launch, and third one is, once you launch, then the priority of action, to say what takes priority over something else. And I think that's the thing for us to think about and for us to act on. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for barakah in our actions and for acceptance before Him. Jalla Jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.